Food City makes it easy to shop your way. Just pick up your groceries curbside or have them delivered directly to your home. So whether you need weekly groceries or just a quick meal, Food City's got you covered. From their doors to yours.
Omaha, check.
Are we clean?
Blue 42.
Do we sound good?
Check.
Welcome back into the Eric Ain Show live at Rusty Wallace Honda. Brian Rice.
Doesn't matter. We look good.
That's all. Chad, matters. Jake. I mean, I look great.
That's why they put us on radio. Of course, Brian does have a TV show now.
Yeah,
I got
don't.
I got a face for a centerfold.
They ought to write a song about that.
They probably have.
I had a response to that, but I value employment. It is Friday. We are here at Rusty Wallace Honda, I-75 and Callahan Drive. It is the intersection of selection. Gentlemen, it's a Friday. It's a pick segment time.
It's been a lot going on this week, Brian.
There has been.
A lot going on. Program announcements, stuff like that.
So before we cue the jingle, before we do the pick segment, let's unpack this for a second.
Okay.
Will West does spots for you, and yeah. Will West is leaving our station. He's been called to the ministry, and he's following a passion that he's had for a long time, which I think is awesome. Mm. But you guys have some questions about it.
We do. We do. I mean, there's an open slot now.
There is.
We're thinking.
And we're just trying to help.
We're trying to help the station.
Okay.
We're thinking. We got some questions for Jarnigan, of course.
Okay.
We've written them down.
Okay. This always goes well when you write
maybe
them down.
Tyler goes from 6 to 8
uh-huh.
on the starting lineup.
Uh-huh.
Me and Jake go from 8 to 9.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
We're really just giving the people what they want.
More Chad and Jake time. Mm.
Well, we've got some questions, though. There's some serious questions that need to ask him. And I text Jeff already and told him that he's going to want to listen. Of course, he, like normal, he hasn't responded.
Is this an interview?
Yeah. This is, well, we're interviewing him.
That's what I'm saying. Is this an interview?
I texted him from the game last Thursday night, too, and told him he had a beautiful voice, and it was good to hear it again. And
he didn't respond to
me either.
Yeah. I'm seeing a pattern.
Huh.
All right, so let's cover this up front. Currently, we make $150 a week, whether we sell anything or not. Would you be willing to match that deal? That's a question. That's a fair question.
Okay.
I think that's easy.
Jake?
I'm wondering if I can sit with him in the booth during the games.
He does need to spot her, but I think his son spots for it. So you'd have to.
We're going to be like children to him.
So
the sons
Eric
he never had or wanted.
So are Eric.
All right. There's another question. Do we have to have?
The station actually get the right box now. Thanks, guys.
Jake has written on the box over here. What is it you win if you draw something out of that box before he wrote on it?
Cornhole boards.
He's written on there. Win a date with Chad's mom.
It's a lot better now than a cornhole board.
Well, I've never seen mom play cornhole.
Win a date with Wilma.
Maybe. I don't know. Let me ask another question.
Okay.
Do we have to have any knowledge of sports?
They let you do this show, don't they?
not if you do it with Ivans.
It's just one.
I'm mostly interested in how many months vacation do we get. Can we call in and do the show from the beach?
Like
you do with Shamu.
Follow up, though.
Oh, yeah.
Do we have to have a doctor's note if we call in sick?
Yeah.
I can tell you that I've never had a doctor's note, and I've taken a lot of time off. So there's a good chance you'll get away with it.
Do we get to pick our own guest? Welcome to the show, Charlie Sheen.
Winning.
Prayers for your producer and the dump button.
And last one, Jake.
Will Jeff be willing to say, it's third down?
Anytime
we want him to.
That
anytime.
Was really good, though.
It has to be anytime we want.
Do you need him to? I think you've got it down.
You should never say that about your boss. You literally just told everybody out there that I'm better at that than he is.
Mm. I just said
I don't think
you
are.
I don't either.
I just want
to hear him say it.
No, I want to hear him say it.
No, I tell you who needs to be worried is whoever does PA for Grace Football.
Ooh. No, that's Dr. Morris.
Can I be honest?
It's Chuck Morris. He's fine.
Okay, you're good. Yeah.
Can I be honest?
Yes.
I don't think this is a could you get the 8 to 9 slot situation. I think it's how long would you last before he said, you're fired.
He calls
that would
up,
be Monday.
He calls up Ray and says, no, these guys are
take
definitely a problem.
We feel like we could be here by 9:30.
Please.
We feel like we could be here.
On that note, it's time to pick some games. Let's cue the jingle. It's time for Chad and Jake.
Here we go.
Chad and Jake, Jake and Chad. Chad and Jake, Jake and Chad. One is smart, one is better. Jake is bull. Chad clever. Chad and Jake, Jake and Chad. They're both bald, they're both bold. Jake is fat, Chad is old.
I hate Jake Bull.
The box, let's be clear, if you do come in here to Rossi Wallace Honda, it is still for the cornhole boards, not to win a date.
Yeah, I mean, I hate him. Now there's people coming in putting stuff in the box over here.
Well,
and the bad part is people I work with.
She's a sweet lady. I'm sure she's a good cook. It would probably be a fun date, but no.
Jeez.
No.
I hate him.
Here are the standings after 2 weeks. Eric H., Jake Bull, you're leading the way at 8-4 each. 8-4, 8-4.
Tied for first.
That's right.
Logan and I are tied at 7-5 for third, technically. And
dang
coming
it, Baker.
Up, and coming up in last place, one game back of Logan and I is Chad.
You're in last place, and Baker just now entered to win a date with my mom.
Baker.
Baker's over here trying to fit between Brian and
Aaron. He didn't want any part of the cornhole boards.
I've never seen Baker smile, much less laugh.
Look at him. Baker's losing it.
Mom, I'm sorry.
We aimed to please on this show.
We'll get her out of the house, though, I guess, a little more. Think about it.
Where would somebody take your mom on a date?
I don't know.
The S&S is closed.
Hillbilly's Cabin in Morristown.
Okay. South Carolina is at 19th ranked Arkansas to lead off the slate. South Carolina looked good at times last week, looks bad at times last week against Georgia State. Arkansas coming off a big win over Cincinnati. The Razorbacks are an 8.5-point favorite at home. Jake Bull.
You know, there was a lot of hype preseason about the South Carolina team, and I was watching that game Saturday and trying to figure out there were some people that were actually picking South Carolina to beat Tennessee in the regular season, and I didn't see that at all. I think Arkansas not only wins, I think Arkansas covers. I think it's like an 8.5-point spread.
Mm-hmm. 8.5. Eric Ainge.
Yeah, everything Jake just said. Arkansas is the better football team. They win, they cover. South Carolina will look a little better than they did against Georgia State. They'll make some plays, but it's not enough. Arkansas wins.
Logan Ward.
South Carolina looked really bad offensively last week. Arkansas looked really good defensively last week against Cincinnati. That's problematic for South Carolina, so give me Arkansas, and Arkansas covers this one.
I will not be surprised if Spencer Rattler looks great and South Carolina wins. I will not pick it to happen. Give me Arkansas by probably as many as they choose to. Chad.
Yeah, whoever picked South Carolina to beat Tennessee earlier this year, I think they were a little nutty, so I'm taking Arkansas.
10th-ranked Baylor at 25th-ranked BYU. Baylor, top 10 team, heads to BYU. Should be a fun matchup between these two teams. Waited till today to get the latest line on this. This late-night game, 10:15 on ESPN. Right now, BYU is a 3-point favorite at home, despite Baylor being a top 10 team. Jake.
Yeah, I know what the spread says, but I BYU's home here. You would think that Baylor would be the popular pick. I'm going to take BYU just because it's a home game for them.
No, you're not. You're taking because they're a favorite.
No.
You loser.
I'll take BYU.
Staying BYU. Eric
Ainge. You're last.
Give me Baylor and Baylor by a couple touchdowns.
Ooh, Eric Ainge says Baylor big.
Now I feel bad about my
pick. Is that going to make the next Ainge family reunion a little awkward?
Well, the cool thing about all the Baylor players is a lot of football players have lots of girlfriends. They can all travel to the game together.
I was just picking BYU for you.
No, you weren't. You were picking it because they were the favorite. No.
Logan.
Yeah, this is the best game of the weekend, in my opinion. I don't really think it's close, but give me BYU in a really, really tight one.
I'm feeling better about this now.
I'm also going to take BYU.
Yeah, I'm back feeling bad about it.
You're welcome. Chad.
Don't worry. I'm going to make you feel better because I'm going with Eric on this one, and I'm saying that Baylor's going to win this thing.
You're in last. I feel good.
They're going on the road. They're going to win. It's going to happen.
Baylor's good.
Mississippi State is a 10.5-point favorite at Arizona. Arizona, though, a big win last weekend over a San Diego State team that was expected to potentially be the best of the non-Power 5. Arizona put it into that. They have been struggling for a few years, but maybe finally have it back. They're excited to welcome the Bulldogs to Tucson. Jake.
You know, Mississippi State has been so inconsistent since Mike Leach has been there. For that reason, it's a road game. I'll take Arizona.
Jake takes Arizona. Logan, or I'm sorry, Eric.
Will Rogers is too much for Arizona. Mississippi State scores a lot of points. Arizona will score a lot too, but Mississippi State.
Logan.
Yeah, this is going to be a bloodbath and for Arizona, so give me Mississippi State by like 3 touchdowns.
Well, that makes my pick sound pretty bad, doesn't it?
What'd you pick?
Arizona.
I'm also going to take Mississippi State. I think Arizona is much improved, but Mississippi State has Will Rogers and they don't.
Am I able to put Jake on an island right now?
You are.
You are.
I will take Mississippi State and the Pirates over there. And
I'm going to gain a game on all of you.
Okay.
It's setting up well for you, Jake, just in case. Missouri is at Kansas State. The Wildcats are a 7.5-point favorite at home against their old Big 12 foe from Missouri. Jake.
The bad thing here is going first because I don't know how much, Chad knows about Missouri and K-State here. And I just don't know how good Missouri is. I mean,
so I think you do.
I'll take K-State.
He's taking K-State. Eric Gage.
I'm with him. Let's go Kansas State. Missouri's not for real.
Logan.
I think both these teams are pretty even, but I really like K-State's running back, Deuce Vaughn, and then the Nebraska transfer quarterback, Adrian Martinez. Them being at home, I will take Kansas State.
There is a website at Kansas that calls out every member of the AP Top 25 voting poll that doesn't place Kansas State in the Top 25 each week. They are just on the edge of being unranked. I think they beat Missouri and get one step closer to being ranked. Give me the Wildcats. Chad.
Yep, I'll go with the old Wildcats as well because Logan said they were transferring here and there and running backs here, and that guy was doing well.
He had good work.
Kansas State,
how many schools has Adrian Martinez been at?
This is just the second.
Just second.
Well, wasn't there a connection here or something? Wasn't he committed here?
He was committed here until Pruitt and crew came in and didn't call
him. Yeah, I can see why he didn't want to come.
So then he went to Scott Frost.
Yeah, that worked out well.
Going to Nebraska doesn't work out well for anybody, it seems. Coaches,
he's
going
to need to get a pretend national championship there, too.
20th-ranked Kentucky is at 12th-ranked Florida. Gators are a 6.5-point favorite at home. Jake, do the Gators do it, or can Kentucky get some momentum here?
Kentucky always plays really well at Florida. Now, I know Florida beat Utah, and I obviously Utah's not a bad team because they lost that first game. Mm-hmm. But last week, you know, I think most people would have probably leaned towards taking Kentucky here over Florida just because the preseason rankings and all. I don't know. Give me Kentucky.
Oh, Jake goes Kentucky. Mm. There's a little twinge of keeping the family happy here. Eric Ainge.
Not so fast, my homie. This is Florida. Florida big.
Big.
Will Levis doesn't have it in him to go and do it all by himself. Florida wins.
Logan Ward, noted Florida fan.
These two teams play ugly games no matter where it is. I mean, in the swamp, in, you know, Kroger Field, I guess it is. All the games are always ugly. No Chris Rodriguez. I think the first half is going to be horrible to watch, but then the second half, I expect Anthony Richardson to play like the way he did last week. So give me Florida by like 10 points.
As much as I would love to see Kentucky win this game and Tennessee be the one to wreck Kentucky's bubble later on this season, I think Florida, and without Chris Rodriguez, Florida by as many as they choose to.
As bad as I hate to say this, I partially agree with Jake.
Uh-oh.
It hurts me to say that, but no matter how Kentucky's playing, they always go to the swamp, and they play so hard down there, and they play better at the swamp, I think, than they do in Kentucky. So Florida always seems to get the win, though. So I'm still going to take Florida, but I do think it's going to be close.
He's taking the Gators. All right, Tennessee and Pittsburgh. We picked this against the spread. The updated spread this morning is Tennessee by 6. Jake, the Vols win or the Vols cover?
So here's what I think. Yes, Tennessee wins. I think if this is a close game, then something is not going the way Tennessee was hoping, clearly. But I think if it's a close game, Tennessee's in trouble. But I think Tennessee's going to win. I think Tennessee's going to cover.
He takes the Vols. Eric Ainge.
I got Tennessee winning. I got Tennessee covering. I got a score of 38-27.
38-27. Logan.
Yeah, give me Tennessee to cover. And more importantly, guys, they will cover the first quarter. So give me Tennessee.
That's all Logan cares about. I will also take Tennessee to win and to cover. I would love to see a double-digit win, but I think it's more likely that they just get past that number of six. Chad.
Yeah, I think Tennessee's going to run the ball very well, and like Eric said earlier on the show, when they can run the ball well, they're going to throw it wherever they want to. So I'm going to take Tennessee big.
All right, couple of islands here, but we're not too far off this week. May not be a lot of separation coming out of this weekend.
Can I give you an update?
Yes.
Jeff still hasn't texted me back.
Okay. I don't know that you read too much into that.
Yeah, okay.
Don't call us. We'll call you.
Yeah, you interviewed him.
I'm not reading anything into that.
I'm interviewing
call
you.
Call me.
No, you're not.
Please.
I think
please
I can help with this Pam situation we have here.
And that's why you guys are here on Callahan Drive. Chad, some great vehicles out here. I noticed, I mentioned it earlier, you, of course, have the new Hondas out here on this side.
Mm-hmm.
But as you drive in here, there were three pre-owned Toyota 4Runners. What did you have to do to make sure that your buddy Greg didn't come down and claim those to go put on his lot at Morristown?
Well, we got a lot of local trades in here. We trade for everything that comes in, so we've got some great quality trades, whether it's Toyotas, Kias, Fords, Nissans, Chevys, Jaguars, you name it. We trade for anything, so we get a lot of great local trades. So, but when you come in, you'll see I've got a line of CRVs over there that we trade for a ton of Hondas, of course, but I got a line of CRVs over there that all of them have a 100,000-mile warranty on them. And you can come in. You can't find any new ones. Find you a pre-owned one that is at a pre-owned price.
And, of course, your new Hondas come with a 200,000.
Absolutely.
Warranty. Right here, intersection of selection, I-75.
You have a buddy named Greg.
Drive.
Greg who?
That's what I was.
He's thinking Greg from the Toyota store up there. Does he work there still? I think
Greg.
He does. He does, yeah, Greg.
Greg.
More importantly, Greg. Put my name in the box, please.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and fill this out. Eric Ainge for a date with Chad's mom.
I'm not drawing that. And if it was that stranger who came in and filled one out for the cornhole stuff, I hope you win. And
you want to go ahead and do the drawing now?
We're not allowed to do the drawing. I have to take the box back.
Jeez. Let's see here. I've got
a winner for the
Eric Ainge of Knoxville.
Oh, I won the date.
Yes.
Hang on just a second. Hey, Mom. Eric's coming. He'll never find your house. Don't worry.
Gentlemen, we always appreciate it. We will see you again next Friday.
Thank you.
That is Chad and Jake. That's the pick segment. We come back. Tennessee opponent preview is coming up next on the Eric Ainge Show.
From Rusty Wallace on to I-75 Callahan Drive. You just heard Chad talk about this full lot of vehicles we have out here today. Also tomorrow, come on by.
I-75 Callahan Drive, the intersection of selection. That is right here at Rusty Wallace Honda. It is time for our Tennessee opponent preview, and that's brought to you each week by our friends at Bark at Home. BarkAtHomeKnoxville.com. It's what your pet wants and deserves. In-home pet care for short-term or long-term. Plans for all types of schedules from simple dog walking to overnight vacation visits. In-home pet care includes customizable plans for pet sitting, dog walking, potty breaks, transportation, visits by the hour, overnight, waste removal. They can do it home. They can do it all. Bark at Home accredited with the BBB and established because of their love for animals. Check them out online, barkathomeknoxville.com, or call Brandon, 865-824-2890. Tennessee takes on Pittsburgh tomorrow up in Pittsburgh. This is a team led by transfer quarterback in Keaton Slovis. He transferred from USC after last season. It's kind of a Jordan Addison for Keaton Slovis trade after last year. You think USC got the better of it, but Slovis looked pretty good in week one last week. Pitt comes off a big win over West Virginia last week in a renewal of the Backyard Brawl, one of their longstanding rivalries that had not been played since 2011 before that game last week. Pat Narduzzi at Pittsburgh has put up a consistent winner since taking over for the Panthers. Has them 1-0. The defending ACC champions are the Pitt Panthers. And Scott Van Pelt last night had Pitt as part of a big money parlay on his show. A lot of people have taken Tennessee. We talked about that, Eric, but Scott Van Pelt liked Pitt plus six last night.
Pittsburgh is a good football team. They're not a great football team. You brought up Keaton Slovis. You know the thing that impressed me the most about him?
What's that?
He looked the way he looked, and he was under duress almost the entire game. And for the most part, when you're a quarterback that's not stagnant, but, you know, a single threat, he can scramble and stuff, but he's not a runner. When you're a play behind the line of scrimmage quarterback and the other team has guys in your face all game long and you still manage to find a way to play well, make the plays, make the throws, and get your team a victory, that's impressive. Slovis impressed me.
Keaton Slovis last week, 16-24, 308 yards and one touchdown. Pittsburgh was led on the ground by Rodney Hammond Jr., 16 carries, 74 yards and two scores. Leading receiver last week was Jared Wayne, three catches for 89 yards in Pittsburgh's 38-31 victory over West Virginia. Defensively, that's where this one is going to come down to, as we talked earlier. Pat Narduzzi said his team is embracing the fact that they're an underdog at home and wants to get a win over Tennessee, because Tennessee is now the first SEC team to ever visit Pittsburgh, be it at the old stadium or at the new stadium.
Really?
Pittsburgh has come here before, but they have never
– Huh.
No SEC team has ever gone to Pitt. Pat Narduzzi said this, quote, "You've heard all summer about the SEC, and there's only really two Power 5 conferences, the SEC and the Big Ten. So we're in the Pee Wee League, and we're going to line up and see if we can play."
Mm.
His team won the Pee Wee League last year, and part of the route to that conference championship was a win over Tennessee in week two.
Yeah, I mean, it was. They found a way to win the game.
So
even last year, though, with as many players as they had, I don't know that I would have said Pitt was the better football team. I think it was really close. I think Tennessee is the better football team in this game.
Don't make mistakes, and you'll be able to show that on the field coming up. That is your opponent preview. It's brought to you each Friday by our friends at Bark at Home. BarkAtHomeKnoxville.com to find out more. We return next here on the Eric Ainge Show. We'll get the Eric Ainge keys to the game next.
Last night in the NFL, the Bills took down the Rams 31-10. Bills quarterback Josh Allen threw for 297 yards, three touchdowns, and ran for a touchdown. Stephon Diggs had eight catches for 122 yards and a touchdown for the Bills in the win. And college football, Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney and him have agreed to a 10-year, $115 million contract extension that runs through the 2031 season. It's going to pay him an average of $11.5 million a year. In Major League Baseball, the Reds took down the Cubs 4-3. The Twins beat the Yankees 4-3. The Nationals down the Cardinals 11-6. Then on Rivalry Thursday, Gibbs got by Central 37-34. Good morning. I'm Logan Ward.
It's almost quitting time here on the Eric Ainge Show, broadcasting live today from Rusty Wallace Honda of Knoxville, I-75 Callahan Drive. Full lot of cars, and as always, we're brought to you by Food City, the official supermarket of UT Athletics. Is it time for my keys to the game?
It is. It is time for the Eric Ainge keys to the game.
All right, let me clean this up real quick. Number one, I always do three. Number one is the line of scrimmage on both sides, but especially offensively. We need to be able to run the football. If we want to score, if Tennessee fans want to see Tennessee score in upwards of 40 or more points, then Tennessee's going to have to be able to run the football well. Their defensive backs cannot cover our wide receivers if it's second and three, if it's third and one, if it's first and 10. That we can do whatever we want to them in that regard. But if it's third and nine because we can't run the football and they're dropping everyone into zone coverage and they're rushing their four NFL-caliber defensive linemen at us, that's not going to end up with a 40-point output by Tennessee. So the line of scrimmage is huge. Got to be able to run the football. Number two is affect Slovis. Slovis, if he just has time to sit back there, he'll pick us apart. I believe that. Mm-hmm. So we have to find a way to move him off the spot. You don't have to sack him, but you got to have him running for his life, scrambling, throwing the ball away, looking like Bo Nix playing Georgia, just never just being able to just sit back there and do whatever he wants. And number three is third down defense. They're going to move the ball on us. They're going to run the ball on us. They're going to complete some passes on us. But if you can let them move the ball down the field and then get a crucial third down stop, no points on the board, no harm, no foul. we need to have a less than 40% conversion rate on us. When you look back at the stats of the game, or if you track them and follow them, if you're looking for something to track and follow, track how their offense is doing on third down. If they're torching us on third down, then it's going to be a long night.
Yeah.
If we can get off the football field and give our offense the football back with a chance to go score more points, that's the deal. So line of scrimmage, run the football, open up the passing game, affect Slovis. However Tim Banks thinks they need to do that, I'm not the coordinator. I don't care what you do, but you need to affect him. Don't let him just sit back there all day. And then third down defense, less than 40%.
Those are the Eric Ainge keys to the game as Tennessee takes on Pitt tomorrow. Let's hit the text box before we get out to find out what we learned today. Alex asks, if it's Kentucky against Pitt tomorrow, who would you take?
I think I'd pick Pitt.
If it was Florida against Pitt tomorrow, who would you take?
I think I would pick Florida. But in all of those games, I still value Pitt. I think they're a good football team, so I don't think any of them would be lopsided.
Let's go to the phones to talk to Curtis at 656-9900. Curtis, you're on the EA show. Good morning.
Morning, guys. Hey, Eric, in your opinion, defensive line of the freshmen, who do you think is going to start contributing? I know not necessarily maybe this week, but before the end of the year, who are we really going to start seeing to stand out, in your opinion?
All of them. Tyler Barron needs to be able to play every snap. If I'm going to critique one of the D linemen, I'm going to critique Tyler Blant. He needs to be able to play more. Byron Young needs to be able to play more. I think interior-wise, we're okay. I think we have two really good defensive ends, two good defensive backup defensive ends. I think they need to continue to get their feet wet and play, and they're going to. I think you're going to see them out there a lot, and we'll see how they do, trial by fire. But I think all of them. I think D-line, especially when you play against teams, it's harder when you play teams that play fast because you have to stay out there. But when you can rotate and sub every time they sub, I think you're going to see us doing a lot of subbing. I think you'll see a lot of young defensive linemen out there. I think I don't know which one will be better, per se. I think they're comparable.
I'll try to get to you earlier in the week. Some of the Florida game from last weekend, did Anthony look that good throwing the ball, or is it just kind of a hodgepodge, maybe a little bit slower defense on the back end for Utah that kind of created that? Because they're getting a lot of buzz on – I mean, everybody's kind of turned to Florida as the national champion, and I just didn't see that. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, thanks. I think it's a little early to talk about them being a playoff team. I think it was a little early to rank them 12th in the country. But if you just watch that football game, they looked like a really good football team. And Utah is a really good football team too. And they gave them all they wanted and found a way to win. That matters. So I think the hype for Florida is legitimate. But at this point, it is still just hype. They only did it once. So they're going to play a good Kentucky team this weekend. If they go look like they did against Utah, against Kentucky, then the word hype goes away. That's just kind of what they are.
Yeah.
That's no different than Tennessee putting up 59 against Ball State. Everyone thought we were going to be really good. We looked really good, but we didn't play anybody. So what happens? You just get put at 24th in the country because you got a test right here coming up this weekend. Test weekend. Florida, Kentucky, Tennessee, Pittsburgh. There's a lot of games coming up. You know, Arkansas. A lot of teams have big games this weekend. We'll see how good they really look.
Should be fun. Should be a good one tomorrow up in Pittsburgh as we go into Tennessee's only big non-conference test this year. After this, it's Akron, and then you start SEC play. You'll, of course, have UT Martin a little later on in October as the final non-conference game. But this is an opportunity for Tennessee to make a statement. And I think they need to going into getting ready for SEC play. You need to tell people that it's not the same old Tennessee. And I think when you put up a lot of points, when you put up a lot of yards against inferior opponents, it starts to serve notice of that. But ultimately, people don't respond to it the same way that they do when you line up and beat a legitimate Power 5 opponent.
You just got to do it for more than 1 week. That's true for everybody.
And Tennessee has an opportunity to do that by winning tomorrow and then bringing Florida in here in 2 weeks, and really making a statement both nationally and in the SEC.
It works every direction, too. Vanderbilt's 2-0 right now, and they got a quarterback that looks like a total stud, but now they're playing Wake Forest. So now you get to see how good they really are.
Yeah, because right now we have no idea. They have feasted on two terrible defenses, one possibly the worst in Power 5, or possibly the worst in Division 1, and then an FCS team.
If the team is believed to be great before the year, then people take one game, Georgia over Oregon, and it solidifies what they already thought. This team is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. If Florida would have been ranked 12th in the country going into the Utah game and did what they did, then there wouldn't be any hesitation on if they're for real or not. It's when it comes out of nowhere and then people go, well, wait a minute. How good are they really? Mm-hmm. And I feel like those teams, that's why people feel more confident in Arkansas right now. Well, they played Cincinnati. They played a ranked Cincinnati team that's got a lot of good football players on it.
Yeah.
You just know more about them. We'll see this weekend, though. A lot of test games this weekend.
It will be. This evening, 6:30 tonight, Tennessee Volleyball will be at Thompson Bowling Arena taking on New Hampshire. They also have two matches tomorrow at 12 and 6:30. So if you're looking for something to do with the family tonight, it is Tennessee and New Hampshire in volleyball tonight at Thompson Bowling Arena. Tickets are available right now at allvols.com. It'll be a fun time. I'll be on the PA mic. We'll see that.
Heck yeah.
Should be good. And coming up at 12:30 on the UT Knoxville Alumni Facebook page, YouTube page, and more, it'll be countdown to kickoff. I'm taking over for Swain hosting that this year because, you know, he has to work between 12 and 3 now.
He does.
So we have our inaugural broadcast of that this week. Do it before every Tennessee road game. And my special guest today will be some guy named Eric Ainge.
Hey, when we get off here, let's roll over there. Let's do this.
So I said, when we were talking about doing it, I said, well, you know, if we ever can't find a guest, you know, I can just get Eric. And he says, well, let's just do him for the first broadcast. I said, you know, we should probably save him for the week that, hey, maybe somebody has to drop out. No, let's just do him in week one.
Come on, let's go. So, I haven't got a parking spot waiting for me. I don't have to get another UT parking ticket.
How many parking tickets do you have at UT for this particular vehicle?
Maybe one.
Okay.
I'm not going to pay it. It's a fake ticket.
It has a different license plate now. So.
It's a fake ticket. Yeah. To get my degree, I had $1,500 in parking tickets.
How mad were your parents to discover that?
Well, they weren't happy. I believe it was like, how is that even possible? And I was like, well, I'm always running late and I have to park. I got to get in. I'm not going to tell Cutcliffe I can't find a parking spot, so I just make one up. You got to be on time. If you're on time, you're late. $1,500 later. Worth every penny. I'd have been running stadium steps.
With the screws in your feet.
Yeah, or they would have maybe make me roll or something. I was too beat up all the time.
You roll and get further injured by the turf. You didn't want to roll around on the indoor turf. It's nasty.
No, you get MRSA on that thing.
Sounds
Trust
like the
me,
voice
I've,
of experience.
I've gotten it.
Sounds like the voice of experience. We will come back, wrap up this edition of the Eric Ainge Show coming up next.
All right, boys and girls, it's time to find out what we learned today here on the EA Show. We do that every day thanks to Gambusa's Barbershop, gambusasbarbershop.com, the number one barbershop in the country several different times. Ready to cut your hair, you get a back massage, you get your hair wash, you get the warm towel on the face, and then, of course, the cleanest cut you can possibly get, gambusasbarbershop.com. It's time to find out what we did learn. I'm going to go back over my keys to the game real quick because I think these are really important this weekend. Number one, line of scrimmage. Got to be able to run the football. If we want to score a bunch of points, we're not just going to do it throwing it through the air. We're going to do it by running the football and then throwing it through the air. Line of scrimmage is huge, and you got a really tough challenge. Pitt's got a good defensive line you're going against. Second one is affect Slovis. I didn't say sack Slovis. You got to affect Slovis. If we just let him chill back there and pick us apart all day long, that's on us. We got to find Tim Banks has to find unique ways to confuse and pressure and affect Keaton Slovis if we want to win this football game. And the other one is third down defense. Less than 40% conversion rate. Needs to be in the 30s. I doubt it'll be below that. But if it's in the 30s, then we're getting the ball back. Those are free possessions, and we have to go out there. And you could take advantage of that. If you want a lopsided game, if you're picking Tennessee 45-18, 45-24, something crazy like that, well, then Tennessee's defense needs to be in the 30s on a conversion rate, from a conversion rate standpoint, getting off the field. Logan, you learn anything cool today?
Yeah, no, so just to touch on your last two keys to the game, I really agree with that because we didn't see Tennessee have a sack at all against Bowling, not not Bowling Green, against Ball State the other night. Now, maybe that's probably because they didn't, you know, apply a whole bunch of pressure, only, you know, two tackle for losses. Ball State got the ball out really quickly, but, and then we saw in the West Virginia Pitt game, whenever Slovis had time to throw, he got sacked five times, so the offensive line didn't play great. Whenever he had time to throw, he was, I mean, he was dicing up West Virginia, and then your,
he was sharp.
Yeah, and then your third one, I mean, I think third down conversion rate offensively and defensively, that's where football games are won and lost. We saw Tennessee lose all, you know, basically every single game that they lost last year, outside of maybe Florida and Georgia, but the Alabama-Ole Miss game, I mean, Tennessee's defense just got torched on third down. So, I mean, those are the two biggest keys in my mind for Saturday.
Any good games? We went through the pick-ems there. I picked Arkansas to win. We both agreed on that
right.
one, Arkansas over South Carolina. I think South Carolina will look better. I really do think they will look better than they did against Georgia State, but I still don't think it's enough to beat this because Arkansas is a good football team.
The question is Spencer Rattler in this new look offense when they brought in Stogner, and they have some other guys coming back. Josh Van has been there for, you know, 20 something years. Are they ready to go to, you know, into a hostile environment like Arkansas? Because they looked really, really good last week.
They did. They looked good on both sides of the football. Bumper Poole had, 14 tackles or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, something like that.
They were getting after the quarterback. I mean, they looked good on both sides. KJ Jefferson looked calm. He didn't make every throw. He missed some plays for sure. But he was really solid, and he was good at moving the chains on third down. I just think Arkansas's a much better football team. This could be a game where this might be feast or famine for Spencer Rattler because I think a lot of it's going to get put on him. If he can make plays, they can win. The kid's a playmaker. He's got it in him. But if they're not able to run the football a lot and he's having to make plays on third and nine against that Arkansas defense, he's going to throw the ball to him and they're going to pick it off and it won't be a good game.
How bad is Alabama about to beat Texas tomorrow? The line's 20. And I feel very comfortable laying 20 points and taking Alabama to cover.
I think Alabama covers that easy.
I think they're going to kill them. I really do.
They'll kill them too. And I guarantee, and you know Nick Saban wants to.
Do we see an Alabama player do the horns down?
For sure.
He's going to have a come apart, Nick Saban will. If there's a flag thrown, which the Big 12 rule is, but I guess the SEC is officiating the game. So does that matter?
It depends how flamboyant it is. If it's after the touchdown and it's run over to the fans on your own sideline and throw it up, no flag. If you throw it up between the lines, they'll throw a flag.
I feel bad for what Steve Sarkisian has coming his way. I really do.
Hey, quick programming note. Got to change this up here. Shout out to Catholic Volleyball. They're headed to a big national event at Louisville this weekend. So go Blair, go Jamie, go Cherry family. We talked about Tennessee a bunch. We both picked Tennessee to win, Tennessee to cover this pick game. You know, I think it's important, and I've been saying it all week, and some people take it as, I don't know, negativity or I don't know what.
You've gotten some hate this week.
Well, it doesn't make sense to me. I think the biggest – here's the gap between me and some fans right now. All of us value Tennessee. Not all of us value Pitt.
Sure.
I value Pitt. I think they're a good football team. If I didn't, I wouldn't say it.
Yeah, I saw a whole bunch of people saying that West Virginia wasn't any good. I flat out don't think that people actually watched that game. West Virginia was, I mean,
good.
I think they're going to be a very solid team in the Big 12 this year.
They looked like a good football team, too. And Pitt found a way to win. Got a turnover late. Found a way to go in there. They were clutch in the fourth quarter. Pitt's a good football team. This has nothing to do with Tennessee when I say this. Pitt is a good football team. There's a lot of good. Florida is a good football team. Kentucky
I agree.
Is a good football team. These are good football teams. Now, here's the fun part. So are we. We are too. So when it comes down to the game this weekend, you have good on good, and I think we're better. And I got us winning 38-27. I got Tennessee covering that 6-point spread with a big win at Pitt on the road. Non-conference matchup, two ranked teams going at it. Pat Narduzzi is obnoxious.
I've got 34-24. If I don't think Pitt's going to win the game, but if they do, Pat Narduzzi's going to be unbearable. Unbearable after the game.
It's one of the reasons. He's already doing it. We're the Pee Wee Conference.
You're right, yeah. Look at us, little Pittsburgh, yeah.
Yeah, little baby Pittsburgh. He's already starting it. Hey, appreciate you tuning into the Eric Gaines Show. We've been broadcasting live today from Rusty Wallace Honda, one of the Callahan Drive. dealerships. We're on every single Friday. Hope everyone has a fantastic day. Go Vols, beat Pitt. Enjoy your weekend.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.